Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
This message comes from BetterHelp. Can you think of a time when you didn't feel like you could be yourself? Like you were hiding behind a mask? BetterHelp online therapy is convenient, flexible, and can help you learn to be your authentic self so you can stop hiding. Because masks should be for Halloween fun, not for your emotions. Take off the mask with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders. I am your host, Kyle, and joining me today is Cleo for the next installment of our Humanity of Trading series. I don't see any other guests in the studio, so I'm not really sure what's going on today. But before we figure that out, Cleo, you got anything you want to share or promote with the peoples?
I mean, I just have my little Twitter account, or as you called it, my Clitter count.
Oh, God, you heard that?
So we're tracking my Clitter count, right? This was something from the last roundtable episode, which I think is hilarious. And
my wife.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter.
My wife was the one who heard that first, and I woke up to her laughing, and she's like, we have to cut this, right? Like, well, we can let Cleo be the judge of that, I think.
Yeah, it's oddly strange. I kind of like it. Like, it actually feels like there's something that's just like, yeah, there's sort of like an honoring of being a woman or something. I don't know.
Well, I see the count has gone up by two since we've last did that one. So good to see.
Yeah. So you can find me at H of Trading on X or Twitter.
And if anybody listening has any suggestions, corrections, or questions for future guests, you can send them our way via email at bandoftraderspodcast@gmail.com, or you can join that free Discord server that was mentioned, or you can even DM us on Twitter at financialineft1. We'll have all those links in the episode description, so you can check them out at your own convenience. Now, I think we should get into the conversation. So, Cleo, am I interviewing you? Is that why we don't have any guests today? Is it finally your turn?
No, it's a good question. It's actually the other way around. So, I'm interviewing you, Kyle. That's what I want to do. So, with this Humanity of Trading series, you know, I want to talk to traders who are active in the Discord. And I've gotten to do that with some of them, and it's been amazing. And I think that it's time for you to get some attention around your experience as a trader. Maybe we'll go into a podcaster. Like, I think, you know, listeners hear you as a host of Band of Traders podcast. But who are you really? Who is Kyle? You know? But I mean, people know you in a way, but like, I want to just have a space where we get to go more into that explicitly.
You know, I'm trying to think of why I've been so nervous to do this. Some of it, I think, has to do with control. Hmm. Like, sitting on your side of the chair, like, I have all the control of where the conversation's going. Hmm. Where I guess you kind of do have some from this side, like how I choose to answer the questions could give some of that back. But it's just really funny that I have so much angst over doing this version, sitting on this side of the chair, as opposed to the other side, which I've done for the last, 3 years and change.
I mean, I can get that. Like, in a way, you have someone asking you questions. You know, maybe you go maybe you'll go into something slightly vulnerable, or who knows, right? It's like the focus is on you and you're the one kind of searching for answers. And you know, I didn't even send you any questions ahead of time, so you don't even know where this is going. So it's just
I didn't want them.
Yeah. So you're just going to be answering, and who knows what's going to come up. So I can get that.
Right. Well, and part of it too, I think it's not so much about the vulnerability, because I feel like I'm pretty good at like opening up and sharing all the things that are going on with me, with all the guests, but it feels different when it's almost like it's a worthiness issue. Like, I don't know that I feel like I'm worthy of the attention of being the focal point of an interview. That makes sense.
Huh. Okay. Can you say a little more about that? Like, what has you doubt your worthiness? Like, what seems true for you such that you don't feel worthy of it?
I just think that you probably want to talk to a profitable trader, someone who's got it figured out, if you want to learn like interesting things that you can apply to your own journey. But that's not necessarily true.
Right.
Like, I've taken a lot of things away from, you know, some of the other guys that have been on the same path as I am, or some a little ahead of me, some a little behind me, but like, there's always lessons to learn at any point of the journey. So I don't know why that's such a hang up, but it just, I don't know, it is.
Right. Like, if you were consistently profitable, then it would be more valid or something to interview you.
It would feel more valid.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you why I want to interview you a little more on that too. If you're interested in that, not just that you're the, you know, host of the Band of Traders podcast, but I've been tracking you for a couple years. I mean, not consistently, like, you know, I've gotten more involved in the last 6 months with the server, and I didn't really track you for maybe like a year and a half. But a couple years ago, when I was listening to Two Bulls in a China Shop with you and Dan, like, you guys, you had a certain vibe, and it was, you know, you have financial ineptitude as part of your whole brand, right? And you had, it was so goofy and sweet and funny, and, you know, you're like, don't trust us. Who knows what we're doing, you know? And you still have a version of that, but I see that you've grown so much in sophistication as a trader, and it's really interesting to me. And I imagine you have a whole journey in the last couple years since, you know, the previous iteration of the podcast. And so I want to start with that. Like, that's what intrigues me. Like, you've really developed as a trader, even though here you are saying that you're not consistently profitable. And I want to talk about that and how you do trade and all that. But how's all that to hear?
it's reaffirming. Like, it's such an interesting thing when you have like small incremental gains over the course of a long period of time, it becomes very difficult to see that progress. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess I'm kind of lucky in that I've got a body of work that I can go back and listen to if I ever want to see how much like I've progressed over the course of my journey.
Yeah.
But like, even then, like, so it's sometimes it doesn't feel that much different than it did 2 years ago. But I'm guessing if I went back and listened to an episode from 2 years ago, I'd probably be pretty shocked at how different things really are.
Oh my gosh, I'm interested in you doing that. Have you done that before? Like, gone back and listened?
I've talked about it, and I think I've been afraid to do it, if I'm being honest. Like, I'm afraid that there won't be that much difference, or like, I don't know what I'm going to find. And there's a little bit of fear there, which is kind of interesting. But I think I'm going to make it a point to do that. I think that'll be my homework for this episode.
Great. And I'd be interested in hearing from you what your impressions are, because I haven't heard those episodes in a while, but I have such a different impression of you now.
Right. Well, I'll have to pick one. So 2 years, you think? 2 years?
Yeah. 2 years. I think that's right.
All right. Let me make a note of that. And I'll link one of the whatever episode I choose to listen to. I'll make sure I link it so everybody else can
Great,
listen
so that
to
we
it.
Can get a sense of the difference.
Yeah, 2 years ago. Okay.
So, great. So I want to talk about this last 2 years. somehow that feels so formal or something. But like,
I know, right?
What are you noticing in yourself, first as a trader, in the last 2 years, in terms of like what's your own story of your development as a trader in the last couple of years?
That's a tough question, huh? Man, it's been like a really wild kind of journey of going from like complete and like zero confidence in what I'm doing or myself, to finding like the stats based crowd, like the Flarys and the Joels, that kind of got me into like trying to analyze like all the data about all the trades that I've taken and all the setups, like collect the back testing stats, check that to forward testing and see how things actually perform in real time.
And when was that? When did that start happening with Flary and Joel?
That would probably be about the time when we started the OFL miniseries, the Back to the Futures. So that was probably about 2 years ago. That might be a good one to actually go back and listen to.
Nice.
So like when we first found Flary, that was kind of what got me keyed into that stats journey.
Yeah.
But there was an interesting, like, I went almost too far to that side, to where there was like no discretion allowed. There was no... It was all rigid, and like I've learned that I'm not very good when it comes to being like too rigid or too disciplined. Like I tend to try to throw those shackles off and then just do whatever I want for a few hours. That usually is to the detriment of my account. Like the more strict I try to be on myself, the more I'm likely to rebel against it. So I have to find something that allows a little bit more, I guess, nuance, or a little bit more freedom, I guess, to pick those spots to enter. But then you go too far on the other side, which is kind of where I feel like I've been the last 3 months, of allowing too much of the discretionary type trading and less of the stats one. So right now it's like I swung from one end of the extreme to the other end of the extreme, and now I'm just trying to find that balance in the middle again.
Right. I get that image of a pendulum. Like, yeah. You didn't have any backtesting experience. You went fully into that, but it brought up all this strictness. I bet a lot of traders can relate to that. I have a very similar journey myself, of like getting super strict and only going in when, and like being tight about it. Right. And like, I'm like, I'm a robot. I'm doing this. This is how it's supposed to be. But it's not actually enjoyable. And it's not even...
Like, it's that robot thing. Like, that's kind of like the idea or the vision of like the trader I thought I was going to be, was going to be this emotionless robot who just executes ruthlessly based on whatever the charts are telling him. But
right.
But you can't just ignore emotions. Like, that doesn't work that way. And that's been like the big part of the journey I'm on lately. And hopefully the next mini series that we start is going to really dive into some of that with Andrew. But like, you turning me into some of that parts work stuff has really thrown a lot of my stuff into a... like a new season of revamping everything again, because there's just so much stuff that I've been learning about myself, my own emotions, and ways to work with them rather than trying to suppress them.
Right. I get this sense that like, okay, you do a piece of work maybe around statistics and like, okay, this is the way to do it. And like, it's not quite it. We need to also integrate this. And there's a new trading style that now is going to integrate this. Okay, that's not totally it. We actually need to also include this piece, and it kind of like resets everything in a way.
Andrew said it best. Like, we ripped up a bunch of stuff in the garden, like all the weeds and stuff we tore out, so that way you can resod it and plant like the new stuff that we want to actually grow in our garden.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I think we just uprooted a whole bunch of stuff like really quickly there. It kind of threw things out into just a little bit too much turmoil. So now it's sorting back through, getting the rows all nicely lined up and figuring out what seeds I want to plant and where.
Totally. And are the seeds that you want to plant, my guess is that you already have the strategies with the statistics that you want to be doing. It's more of the how? Or is it also like, no, I'm just throwing everything up and I don't know exactly what strategy I'm going to do, and everything's up for question?
Here's a really good example of something like an aha moment that happened within the last probably 6 months, I would say. It was I think I was confusing like entry tools with setups.
Okay.
Like my setup used to be like a Liz candle that forms usually on like a specific time frame. Usually want to see it make like a new swing high or swing low, like some other little parameters around it like that. But I started looking at it a little bit differently, thinking like, okay, this isn't necessarily the setup. Like, the setup to me is now a lot more general, a lot more broad. It's what happens in an area. Do we fail to make a swing high or swing low? Okay, well, now we can look for these other things that I used to term as setups as more like entry tools now instead. Oh, they failed to take this swing high. We've got some rotations, you know, lower than the ones that brought us to that high. That looks like a good setup to try to take something short. Now I can look to the entry tools that I spent, you know, years developing, building those stats and histories on. And now I have a place where I can actually apply those that makes a lot more sense than just doing it anywhere.
Right. So you look for setups in specific areas.
But the whole idea, the whole way I've looked at setups has completely changed, I think. The setup is a lot more general, a lot more broad, like a sweep and recovery of a swing high or swing low is a setup now.
What's influenced this shift for you?
I think just the conversations with everybody, all the good traders that we've had since we've changed the format, like hearing the way that they approach the markets. And I think some of that is finally just bled through, but I don't know. I don't know if it was just looking at the charts enough and it finally just kind of clicked or what, but I knew whatever I was doing before wasn't working.
Right.
Because like, just, I don't know. It's nice to have a setup that has a decent win rate at any point in time, but man, it gets so much better when you can start applying it to points that really actually matter, or those edges of the market, as Baba likes to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know how to explain that.
I mean, it's amazing. One of the things, it's almost like you don't exactly know where it came from, but certainly from the exposure to all of the different traders. I mean, this is one of the things that's so awesome about the server is we kind of get stuff by osmosis, right? Like,
Yes,
we're learning things and we can get specific nuggets, but enough people say it in different ways, the same thing, you just kind of start internalizing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially the new way.
Baba does such a good job of sharing his charts and talking through his ideas as he's going through them. I guess you just see that enough times and eventually something's going to click for you, or you're going to see something in there that makes sense. It may not be the exact same way that he does it. The way I trade is not the same as Baba or Flary or anybody else. Like, it's my own way that I'm developing. And I think that's kind of the key.
Right.
The key shift that has changed. Like, I'm no longer looking to take what other people are doing and try to mimic it. I'm trying to take pieces of things that really make sense to me and add it and incorporate it into my overall.
Totally. Are there any elements specifically of Baba's trading that you have integrated into your trading?
Oh, yeah. Being more free with market entries. Like, I used to never market enter into anything. But watching the way that he can work and enter into a trade, like, I've started to incorporate some of that. It's not typically an all or nothing kind of thing anymore. Like, I won't just ape in, you know, I typically like try to get like a little bit of it, like maybe one contract when I see everything that I like, put the stop where I want it and then see where else I can add if it pulls back up against me.
Right.
Things like that that kind of help me with my FOMO or tendency to get upset when I miss setups. Like, this just gives me a little something that gets my skin in the game, but it's not enough that's going to hurt me if I'm wrong or early.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's definitely one aspect that's influenced my trading, I think, is
marketing in. Do you track any of the zones that he tracks? Like, when we're in, you know, he's sharing his screen every morning. Like, are you tracking what he's tracking? Or is your strategy and the whole situation, like, just really, really different?
Well, from Baba and Banks, I've taken a lot of, I got a lot of influence from them on using, like, swing high, swing lows, especially on, like, the 6-hour time frame, which is kind of a weird one, but that dives into that quarterly session stuff that they always talk about.
Right, they're super into the quarterly sessions. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really like the swing highs and lows of those sessions. Those generally make it onto my charts and become like an area that I'm paying attention to. A failure or blowing through those spots like is quite informative to me.
Great.
What else? Just the way that they look at it. Like, Banks is really good at explaining things in terms of liquidity. And I think that was like a real aha moment when he kind of explained like how institutions are just looking for liquidity. Where's liquidity going to be? It's going to be where stops are at. Where are stops going to be at? They're going to be at these swing highs and swing lows. Okay, where are the ones that matter? And he's like really helped me kind of figure out a way to see something that I can recognize repeatedly on a chart to take advantage of that kind of that theory or that idea.
There are so many ideas like that. Like, I remember I didn't know what liquidity was before I spoke with Bob and Banks. Yeah, in the initial eval, they were talking about liquidity sweeps. I'm like, what are you talking about? And, you know, for a while there, I was compiling questions of them just saying various things. And I'm like, wait, what? What? What do you mean? I need a Q&A here. We need to talk about this because there's so many concepts that are useful.
Yeah.
But then once you get them, you can't not see it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm interested also in going a little bit more into how you trade, like, how many accounts you're trading? Because I think you use prop firms, right? You're like going the prop firm route, or yeah. are you doing paper trading? Do you have a cash account? Like, what's your trading world like? What are you doing? What accounts are you using?
Currently, right now, then, so TopStep had that promotion for the TopStep X accounts, mm-hmm. Like the five accounts for like $4.50. So I got like five of those.
Yeah.
That I trade.
And do you trade them all at once?
No. I found what works best for me is to cycle through them, taking like the accounts that are like performing the worst or I guess the furthest from the goals, trading those ones and then just trying to bring them up to the next highest one and then take the next lowest one and try to bring it up to where it's not the lowest anymore. If I work from the backwards up like that, there's less of that pressure when you're trading a new account that's at an all-time high. Because I can't tell you how many times I've gotten to a new high watermark and then the next day, then the account is either giving it all back or is completely blown.
What happens there? How come that happens?
It's because you suddenly get excited about finally finishing one. And then that becomes the expectation. And then you're looking for trades to get you just that last little bit to get you to the, you know, the finish line. And
so that's what happens for you. You get like a little outs.
You
get impatient and kind of off your center.
Yeah. It was actually a really good tweet that I think Crudelli posted a while ago that was the problem with most traders, I think he said, was that they can't make money. It's that they can't make money fast enough.
Right.
And I think I've fallen into that trap more times than I'd like to admit.
Yeah. When was the last time you fell into that trap?
It's probably been a while now.
Actually. I know. I was wondering, since we've done like parts work stuff, how that would go for you.
Typically what ends up happening is I'll just lose basically all discipline on whatever account I'm trading and then just basically run it to the ground. But because those accounts are so cheap right now, it's so easy to just say, okay, this one is, you know, $1,000 underwater already. Like, I don't give a shit about it. It's going to renew in 2 weeks. Here, let the outlet go on this account and let's protect the other ones that are still doing well. And we'll come back and revisit those when we're in our better headspace.
Right. Do you think it's going to be different now that you've brought attention to some different elements in your like personality, or do you imagine this pattern will continue?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that there's some tendencies that are becoming more clear as we do more of this parts work. There's more parts, like I'm getting a better feel of who those parts are and when they try to take control. And I'm also getting a better idea of what things that I can do throughout the session to have the parts in control at the moment that I want to be in control, if that makes sense.
Totally. To like hire them.
Right, right. One example would be that on the charts throughout the session now, I try to make it a point to make observations, or if I have thoughts that pop up throughout the trading session, I'm writing them down on the chart when they occurred.
Cool.
Be that like, oh, this looks like a short here. I really feel the urge to just ape in. So I'll make a note. But then I'll employ the rational side to say, okay, is there a short here? What would I want that to look like? Where would the good entry be? And then if the rational side signs off on it, then okay, we've got a trade.
Nice.
But before, it was too easy to just I call him my Rambo.
Right.
Just let him have control and start trying to sling contracts. And, you know, you can get hurt pretty quick doing stuff like that, especially when it's all based on emotion.
I really love this. It feels like an integration of the rational part and the emotional part, actually. Like you,
yes,
it seems
yes.
like you're needing both here.
Right. I do. The irrational side, I think it got so strong or it became such a big part of me because it got to the point where I just got too afraid to pull the trigger at any point in time. So by ceding control to him, has no problem pulling the trigger. But his problem is that he can't stop
right.
pulling the trigger. So it needs kind of like a combination of the two of them. I need the rational guy to say, hey, it's go time, get me an entry. And then Rambo can jump in, find a spot to get it, you know, get a fill. And then the both of them are working together and doing the things that they're good at. Like, that's kind of where we want to get to, right?
That is super cool. I think for me, that's what I mm-hmm. would like, be able to integrate both, right? It's not like, okay, they're only even taking turns. It's like, okay, do both of them get to have a say here? And can they work together, actually?
Right, right. Yep. But yeah, I found if I don't make those observations, then the rational side of me is not present enough. And then I tend to make a lot more mistakes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Yeah, totally. What's your... goal for your experience in the prop firm world? Like, is it like, okay, you want to get a certain amount of payouts and then you go to a cash account? Or what's your, where are you at? Like, what's your current goal, your kind of short-term and middle-term goal?
Obviously, first goal is going to be passing one.
Yeah.
I don't YOLO them like other people do. I don't just put one trade on and hope that it goes my way and, you know, pass or fail. It's going to do what it's going to do, like Baba likes to do sometimes. I try to trade them the same way I trade a real account. So I'm trading usually like 2 to 3 micros on like a $50,000 account from Top Step X.
Yeah.
I've contemplated going back and forth between going back to live. I kind of would like to hit that milestone first of getting a funded account, getting a payout before I start putting my own money back on the line. So really, like, the big goal for me right now is get one of these passed, which I'm pretty close on one of them. I'm one that's maybe 20% of the way from finishing, but I've also not touched that one for a while because I've been afraid of what I'm going to do to it if I go back to it.
That's the real deal. That's almost like a cash account. It is a cash account for you, essentially.
It could be.
Because that's your most prominent. Yeah, it could turn into that.
Right. But I mean, that's, I think that's what gets us into trouble a lot of times. It's that lottery ticket thought process of what this could be. You know, that's all lottery tickets are winners until you scratch them, right?
Right. So there's something about the pressure, right? I think that this is something that actually traders talk about a little bit. I really appreciate how much Baba talks about how pressure has changed his trading and how he's worked with that. It sounds like you have a version of that. Like, there's a certain kind of pressure and what you do with that. Like, do you have, I don't know, what would that be? It's not like performance anxiety. It's like when pressure's on that it changes your behavior.
I mean, typically I usually perform pretty well under pressure, which is what's kind of strange about it. I don't know if it's pressure. I think it's just, I get impatient. You get close to the finish line, you want to finish it.
Yeah.
And that's been the thing I think that's been holding me back, is we keep doing everything the same way, the way we got here. We don't need to try to take shortcuts now when we're this close to finishing. Let's just do it the same way, the same criteria, the same methodologies, the same, keep it all the same. Let's stop,
same.
Stop trying to fast forward it. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So then passing an eval, getting funded, getting some payouts. I imagine that's
That'd
goal.
Goal number two. Yep.
Goal number two. And then going back to your cash account. Is that, or what's the next after getting payouts? Maybe continuing to get payouts.
I think I'd just be continuing to get payouts, trying to build an account up to probably take to the live side of it, kind of something like Purdue does. Purdue's been trying to fund his live account with all the payouts he's taken from the other prop firms. I think I would like to do something similar. Like, let's build up a bankroll from all these things, and then let's put them towards somewhere where I get the full split, and I'm not having to worry about, you know, shitty feels or some of the other games that these prop firms can play.
I love the specificity of this plan, because I think it's also something that's very common in the trading world of, like, not that we talk about this in our culture, but like on Twitter, it's like, yeah, you're going to be a successful trader, right? It's not like, it's not honoring the steps that it takes to get there. Like, it actually is a step-by-step process to get anywhere with success, right? And actually honoring what are the steps. We can't just skip steps, right? We got to be fully online for the whole process. And so I love this. It's like, yeah, okay, first this, and then I got to do this, and then it's this, and then this is where I'm headed for this, and these are the bumps that come along the way, but this is where I'm headed.
Yeah, it's the whole idea of micro goals, right? Goals that help you achieve, like, the big goals that you have.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, let me see. Oh, here's a question, again, with trading. How many strategies? Are you running one strategy at a time, or do you have a variety of strategies that you work with?
Currently, I am trading with mostly just around 5-minute rotations, like looking for impulse moves away from, like, key structural areas, seeing where those rotations take place. If they are something that looks interesting to me, I'll box off those areas and then wait for a revisit of those. And then how we interact in those zones will be when I take the trade or which direction I end up going. If we blow through it and then test it from the backside, then I'll look to try to take it up to, you know, continuation in that direction. If it touches my area and fails and then prints another pattern that I'm used to seeing, typically rotations that lead to a high or a low, when the rotations out of that are above or below it, that can be pretty informative for my line of work. So mostly I'm just looking for those kinds of patterns in those types of spots.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
This message comes from BetterHelp. Can you think of a time when you didn't feel like you could be yourself? Like you were hiding behind a mask? At work, in social settings, around your family? BetterHelp Online Therapy is convenient, flexible, and can help you learn to be your authentic self, so you can stop hiding. Because masks should be for Halloween fun, not for your emotions. Take off the mask with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Great. So there's a few patterns that you might look for, but it's generally one focused kind of strategy that puts a bunch of elements together.
And then this last couple of weeks, I've actually been adding a lot more markets into my plan too. So now instead of, because part of the issue of dealing with patients is not, you know, you get one or two opportunities with what you're developing on one market, like you miss that opportunity, then yeah, that can be really annoying. But if you can open it up to, you know, CL, ES, Dow, Gold, you know, any of the other markets that are fairly regularly traded by people, suddenly you get, you know, six opportunities a day.
Right.
Where if this one doesn't work out, then I'm no longer so married to the idea of it winning that I can let it go easily enough, go find another market, and then wait for something to set up in one of those.
And have you done stats and backtesting on all the different markets with the different...
Nope.
No, okay.
Nope, I probably should.
but it's more, but you've been having some success with it. Like, okay, it's probably going to be a similar situation here that's going to apply.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Let me see. Oh, how do you deal with losses? Like when you, I know that you step away from your computer, there's one thing, but how do you deal with that?
My instinct is to want to run away from it. Mm-hmm. That's something that I'm always constantly trying to fight. Like the days I don't want to journal are typically the days I don't do that well.
Yeah.
So part of that has to be like just accepting it, like looking at it. Where were my entries at? Can I actually go physically look at them? Try to recreate what I was thinking in those moments. Were those still good trades or were they not good trades? Being able to actually like look at those things after some time has passed, typically, like if I've had a shitty day where I've taken, you know, six stops in a row, I'm probably not going to go sit down and review it immediately after that. I'm probably going to give myself an hour or two, maybe I'll go get some lunch or something to cool off before I come back and look at it. Give myself some time to get away from those emotions.
Can we pause here for a moment? Like when we're talking about, okay, you're going to take an hour and cool off. What are you doing in that hour? Is it like there's a kind of mind activity that's upset and you're telling yourself different things? Are you trying to distract yourself? Are you trying to move energy? Like, what are you doing in that hour of cooling off?
I think it's more just trying to put some distance from it so I can come back and look at it from a different perspective.
So not even thinking about it.
Trying not to think about other things, going to do some other work or accomplish something that I know that I need to accomplish. Sometimes I'll just tell the wife, like, hey, let's go play some Minecraft. Like, I need to take my mind off of this and do something fun with you.
Yeah. So something else with your attention.
Yes.
Getting a little bit of space, and then you can come back to it from a different state then.
Yeah. Yep. And that's if I've hit like the max loss for the day, like we should say. Like if it's just a couple of losses, typically I try to limit myself to about $200 a drawdown per account, no more than 300. So mm-hmm. if one account ends up hitting that 200 mark or gets around there, then I'll just flip to a different account. It gives me kind of a fresh reset. If I'm still feeling good, then I'll continue trying to trade and find entries. If I do that in two or three accounts, then I'm shutting it down for the day and walking away and finding something else to do.
Do you ever get to a place of doubting yourself as a trader when you're...
All the time.
Yeah.
Don't like, you?
Yeah. Yeah. I just think it's good to say that, you know, like, oh my God, this is so hard. Like, what am I even doing? I'm doing what with my time? Staring at these ridiculous charts and making moves that I think are going to be good and they're not, and I'm wrong again. And what am I doing with my life?
The hardest part is trying to take that feeling of validation away from the results, right?
Right.
That's been one of the hardest journeys, I think. And I don't even know if I'm there yet, to be honest with you. Like, I still feel joy when I'm in a winning position. I still feel angst and fear when I'm in a losing position.
I mean, doesn't that seem natural? It's like, how can we not really? I mean, maybe Banks doesn't. It seems like Banks is cool.
Well, you know, what's funny is that exercise that Andrew gave us for the...
I'm not my
humanity
account.
Stuff. Yeah, that I'm not my account. This is not my hand. It's actually been helping quite a bit.
Huh.
Like, I think there really is something to having like little mechanisms that you can use to snap yourself out of the moment.
Yeah.
Because I think most of the mistakes that I make become when I get so super focused on the whatever chart I'm looking at that I start trying to manufacture things. So if you can have something silly like that, like this isn't my hand, you can't hurt me, or I just got Rambo killed, like probably shouldn't have taken that entry. You know, things like that that can snap you out of that moment, that uber focus, I think that's the key to being successful in the long term, or to be able to let those wash over you, you know?
I have one when I'm trading the MNQ and it's not going in a direction I'm wanting, or if it is going in a direction that I'm wanting, I call it cute. I'm like, oh, Nazi's just so cutie.
Right? It's funny how little things like that can make such a big difference though, isn't it?
Totally. Do you have any like quippy favorite sayings that you've come up with for trading? Like, okay, I have a Google Doc called Trading Truths. I don't know if these are truths. I created this like a year or two ago. you know, most people make the riskiest trading moves when they're the least educated. Here's one I got from George Papasoff. The market takes the stairs up and it takes the elevator down.
Yep.
You know, find a strategy that's relaxing and non-sensational, set it and forget it. Don't move your stop loss. Do you have any that are like you, kind of rules that you live by that you've internalized?
I think maybe my favorite one that I've come up with is probably don't fade a strong move on the first stop.
Nice.
I don't know how many times you see people trying to buy a dip of a really strong sell-off after it takes out a key level, and then just it'll go up a little bit, but then it'll wipe them out.
Yeah. Good one.
I've seen that too many times.
Totally. Let me see. What else do I have here?
Anything about the podcast?
Yeah, we're going to... Oh, I wanted to shift into talking. Yes, we have a whole thing about podcasting. But I want to... First, you talked about playing Minecraft with your wife. And I wanted to talk about your relationship to trading relating to your wife. Like, do you talk to her about what's going on? Does she understand a lot of the concepts? Like, what's her relationship to your trading?
It's actually kind of funny. I think she's gotten a lot more nuanced with her understanding of it from just helping edit the podcast.
Yeah.
But I've tried to make it a point since we started diving into the psychology aspect, probably with like Rich Friesen.
Yeah.
As I think she started to notice, like there would be days when I'd just be, you know, elated over the moon, probably the happiest guy in the world. And there'd be days when I just don't look at anybody, go straight to the room, take a nap. You know,
yeah, and she's seeing so you like, do all this.
Yeah, she's seeing all this, but has no idea what the context is behind it. Like, did he have a good day? Did he have a bad day? I don't know what happened. So, like, one of the things that really kind of came out of that was just touching base with her every day and kind of talking through, like, how the day went. Like, oh, I felt like I traded pretty well today. The results weren't great or they were good or, you know, whatever happened. Just kind of giving her just a little bit of, this is what happened. This is how I felt I did. So that way she can kind of have some sort of context of like where my headspace is for the rest of the day. I think that's Plus, it also helps her. Like, sometimes she has some insights that come from a place that's not from trading. That,
yeah.
Like, you just, man, I never would have thought of that. I can't give any examples off the top of my head, but there's been a few of those just sitting outside and talking. You're like, well, where does that come from? Shit, I have no idea.
Totally.
Probably should figure that out.
I have that with my partner too. It's like, okay, they don't understand. They're not interested in trading necessarily, but, you know, they can read a chart to some, my partner can read a chart to some mm-hmm. degree now, right? And knows when I'm in a long or a short, for example, and knows my little trading tool and like has a general sense of my strategy and is even like, well, wait a minute. Well, why didn't you do that one? Or, you know,
right.
Which is so cool. And one thing that I'm struck by is my guy is not interested in trading, even though he's interested in talking about it with me, but he's more interested in me than he is trading. Is it the same for you and your wife?
I would think so. I don't think she has any interest in trying to trade, but she can spot a fraud on Twitter. She happens to stumble upon a podcast for some research. You're like, does this guy know what he's talking about? He said this, and this. It's like, that sounds like
bullshit. She's had enough exposure.
Yeah.
Totally. That's so great.
But yeah, I think it really is just, this has become such a big part of my life that I think it's important that she's included in that in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, agreed. And I want to plant this seed. I know we've talked about it privately behind the scenes, but that we want to have a podcast. I want to have a podcast mm-hmm. in the Humanity of Trading series where we're talking with your wife and Baba Yaga's wife, maybe another wife, but like a session with the wives.
I think we should get your guy in there too.
Maybe he'd be into it. Right? Partners.
Yeah, partners. The partners of trading, our trading spouses.
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. Yeah, that could work.
Trading spouses, not quite. I don't know about that. Okay, great. Let's transition into podcasting now because also, again, like your wife is a big part of the podcast, right? What does she do in the podcast? She does a bunch of editing. We have some Discord message threads about different stuff. Let's just have it that angle, like start with your wife and podcasting and then get into more of you and podcasting.
All right. So when Dan ended up taking his leave of absence from the show, she stepped in to kind of fill that gap. So really it started out with editing. Like I showed her the stuff that Dan had showed me how to edit, which is a good thing Dan was involved because we'd have no idea how to work our way through Audacity or any of the other things that makes the show, I think, is better than others just because the quality is above the threshold of what most people consider good. It started with that, but then like as we did more and more with the podcasting, she got more involved with like helping pick the guests, doing some background research on them, like helping me stay away from people that maybe we don't necessarily want to give a voice to on a platform to.
Like what kind of people are those that you wouldn't want to give a voice to?
Someone who has had multiple convictions in the financial spaces is now starting a crypto project. Like, I don't think I want to talk to him.
Right.
So there's been some stuff like that. We actually put together a workshop for starting podcasts through another company, our China Shop Productions. Sorry, my phone is dinging. Turn that off. Sorry, what did I say?
You're talking about China Shop Productions that you did a workshop, or you started a workshop.
Yes. Yeah. So she put together most of that workshop, which is just phenomenal. We got to actually teach a class with Fairway Independent Mortgage Company. We helped Sherry Anderson, who is the CEO of Fairway Cares, the charity organization that they do.
Nice.
We've helped her with her podcast. She actually just launched season 2 again. So probably should put a link to that in there. Fairway Cares Beyond the Box. If anybody wants to check it out, it's phenomenal, storytelling, listening to people whose lives have been touched by, this charity, for people who are suffering, like, you know, loss of loved one, cancer survivors, like that kind of stuff.
Amazing.
Actually they sent a package to one of my best friends, from high school when we started working with her. I was able to put a friend of mine in who was needing a kidney transplant, and they were able to put just one of the most thoughtful packages I think I've ever seen. Aww. And send it to him. He told me when I got the phone call after he got that package, it was just so beautiful. Like, he said it was the most thoughtful gift he said he'd ever received in his life.
Wow, that's so touching.
Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, getting to be a part of those things. And she does most of the show running for that show. So yeah, she's definitely gotten more involved as time has gone on, and couldn't do any of this without her.
That's so amazing. It seems like you have a good working dynamic.
Yeah, it's funny. I think that'd be the death of a lot of couples if they had to work together.
I've done it before. Yeah.
As close as we've done.
And it's challenging.
Yeah.
In different ways. Right? Yeah. But you guys have a good flow with it.
Yeah. And there's still issues. Like there's still times when like we have to work through some things. There's certain things that trigger me, like when it comes to like trying to explain concepts or stuff that can make her feel shitty. And we have to work through some of that stuff. But really, I look at the trading and the communication skills that I've built, like the understanding I've had of like my own emotions and the things that drive that has given me like another framework to be able to communicate with her and explain some of those things and do so in a way that doesn't make her feel bad about her, you know, part in that. Like, hey, this isn't you. This is me. And this is where this issue comes from. And I can sit and have that conversation with her, and then we can come together and figure out a way to work through it in a way that's healthy and fun.
That's so amazing. I also have a question here that I forgot about, which is, I mean, it's so obvious, but what have you learned about yourself as a human through trading? And it seems like this is relevant to that, what you're talking about, of like more awareness of your emotional states. Could you speak more to that?
Oh, man, I don't think I've ever tried to put it into words. In fact, that's probably not a bad idea of an exercise to try to like just, what are my tendencies? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? I would say that trading has really exposed patience and discipline as one of the things that I need to be on guard for.
On guard for, like it's something that doesn't come naturally that you want to look for, or?
It's something that's always a battle to stick with.
Uh-huh.
Like I have to find ways to make myself want to be disciplined because my natural state is going to be to rebel against that. There's a little bit of punker in me, I guess, punk rock. Yeah. Just wants to fuck the world.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, there's some of that. But there's also like the things that like that I'm good at. Like I've learned through the show that I'm actually pretty good at empathizing with people. And I didn't think that I've always thought of myself as an introvert, where I don't get a lot of, it doesn't do much for me to go to a big party on the weekend. Like I'd much rather sit at home and play ping pong or read a book or do something with my wife, you know?
Yeah.
But through the show, like I get to talk to all these different people and have these real intimate conversations. And it's just something that I never thought that I'd really enjoy as much as I do. And I love it.
I mean, that often is the case that introverts like to have like deeper kind of intimate conversations with one or two people, right? That's a thing.
Right.
But yeah, you have a lot of them.
I know. And it's like it's actually kind of hurting my social life because this gives me all of the social contact that I want or need.
Oh my God. I actually know exactly what you're talking about.
So it makes it harder
to
go and do more stuff outside of it.
Totally. Yeah. I moved into a new city and I know a couple people and I have some family, but I honestly, I'm like, I don't need more friends. Like I'm full,
I've had enough.
Trading people. It's like, it's just all enough to track and like, you know, it's just nice in a way, but
yeah,
it sounds like you would like to have more maybe in-person non-trading friends or something.
No. I just think I have to be careful because otherwise I might turn into a hermit.
Yeah.
Like I have to make it a point to leave the house once a week.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. It's when you don't have a 9-to-5 job anymore, there's really no need to go out and do stuff. So yeah, you got to make it a point to go touch grass every now and then. Otherwise you
lose touch
get
with
way
that.
Too pale.
Totally.
Sunburn too easily.
Totally. Okay. So podcasting is where you get a lot of your social needs met.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk more about like a little more about your journey as a podcaster. You've been podcasting, like you're doing Two Bulls. How long have you been podcasting?
Probably, I think we started in September of 2020.
Okay.
So we're coming up on 4 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. What's been like your kind of journey as a podcaster? I imagine you're different now than you were before. Like what have you noticed in your journey?
I've learned, I think, and I really tried to lean into this, that authenticity is what really makes a podcast good. Mm. What makes a real conversation. Like it has to be me as the host. It's my job to find the thing that sparks the interest from the guest. Mm-hmm. What thing are they going to get? Like, when do they get the twinkle in their eye when they're getting to explain something, when they're talking about something they really care about? And if you can capture that moment, you're going to capture some really good conversations that people are going to want to listen to.
Nice.
So, like, I think I've gotten really good on this journey at being able to identify those points or those things that make people excited to talk about. And then I just try to lean in on that. I've also been just very impressed with how tight-knit the community is. Like the fans that you get from a podcast are like some of the best fans in the world.
Yeah, why?
I just go above and beyond. Like they want you to succeed. They're like part of your team. Like you look at our website now, like the panelist page has grown quite significantly from what we had envisioned, you know, from me and Dan starting out. Like now we've got, you know, guys like Joel and Purdue that started out as just being fans of the show are now big parts of it. You know, Joel, he's my QA guy. He gets every episode as soon as it's finished editing so he can tell me if there's any mistakes in it. Purdue has been just phenomenal at helping, like, drive the engagement in the room. He's put so much of his stuff out to try to help people. He's helped me and Joel just privately one-on-one, not to mention some of the other conversations that we've done publicly.
Yeah.
It's been just a great community. Robert R, you got to mention him. Like he put together that study package for us for Sierra Charts, taking some of the ideas that we wanted to see and making custom studies, you know, for us out of that. And then just some of the other guys that I've just actually built a decent relationship with, yourself included, Bear Goes Long, Baba Yaga and Banks, of course, Joe and Quincy, who one day we'll get to meet. Hopefully I'll be back there in September. And then some of the other... Flary's been great. Mark D, another guy in LA that, you know, he's been quiet lately. I know he had a baby, but anytime you're ready to come back, man, I miss you, bud. Oh, I can't forget about Team Mandalore and Ray and Yellow Man, our intrepid reporter who's still lost in China somewhere. Coil Spotting, some of the other OGs. It's just so many to list. It's just been, I don't know, it's just been a hell of a ride. And to see this many people like care about something that I care about is really cool. I think it's really special.
Yeah. And we all started out as podcast listeners and fans. Mm-hmm. And then yep. We're like, oh, I want to know a little more about this. I want to get involved. This is good.
I want to build this into like a network. I want, you know, Joel and you and Purdue and other guys to start their own podcast. And then we'll have like this big network of, you know, traders that we can trust, and then this big spot where people can come for resources and know that they're not getting fucked by, you know, the shills and other people out there that are just trying to make a quick buck off everybody.
Yeah. I think I've had sort of a skewed perception of traders based on my experience in this community, because a lot of traders are kind of douchey, you know?
Right.
but I haven't seen that much of that. I've seen a little bit more of it since I've been on Twitter. But not that much, even, because the people that I follow are people like Andrew and, you know, a bunch of people that have like psychology as a focus. And the posts that happen are really awesome. And I see so much support in general in the Discord server. And like my perception of traders, like, wow, we're this like supportive gang of people, you know, and I don't think that that's necessarily true, but I like the reality that I see.
But if you think about it, I mean, my opinion, like most of the shitty behaviors like that all stem from like your self-image, like whether or not you feel worthy of whatever you're saying, or you feel it's not confidence, but it's like belief in self maybe, or it's like a lack of humility almost. And you'll see it in like any job that you work at. We've all had the shitty manager who can't let anybody else know more than them because they're the boss. It's like, oh no, you're the manager. You're the one who's supposed to put the people who are good at their jobs in the positions to succeed. Like your knowledge and skills don't really matter. It's a completely different position. But that's been like the source, I think, of all of the shittiness I've ever experienced in the workplace. It all stems from a lack of humility. And I think in our community, we do a very good job of, you know, recognizing that it's okay to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
You don't always have to have the answer.
Right.
In fact, I'd much rather someone say, I don't know, but I'll find out, you know?
Totally. Or, I mean, for me, it was a big win. In the last couple weeks, I've posted a couple of screenshots of trades. Mm-hmm. And they're not that impressive. They're like 20-point wins. But for me, I'm like, yeah, my process worked, right? And this is what I'm wanting. It's not like a 100-point runner. It's just like a 20-point win or a 25-point win. And like, that's what I'm into right now. And I'm celebrating that, right? And it's not that impressive, but it's...
The process is impressive.
Yeah, it is.
It is impressive, though.
Thanks.
See, you're doing the same thing I do. It is impressive.
Right. And it's the loud voices that are typically the ones like on Twitter that are like, look at me. And I'm like, I have a Lambo or I have all this cash or something. And it's just not very, it's like.
One, it's not realistic.
It's not realistic. And I don't think the majority of traders are actually like that. I think that a lot of people are quietly doing their thing mm-hmm. with integrity. That's my guess.
Yeah. Most of the people that I've met and, you know, running a podcast, you get to talk to as many, like all the traders. The ones that I've really respected and that have really seemed to know what they're talking about have been just the most gracious, humble, helpful people you've ever met in your life.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think if you're finding people, the people you're following are not embodying those types of virtues, then they're probably not what you think they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. So maybe we close there for now. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah. Unless there's anything else that you want to say, anything else that you would like to say as yourself as a trader that you want to get out there. If it was like, okay, you're going to get off the call and you're going to be like, oh, I wish I said that.
I think the only thing that I'd like to say is just thank you for making me do this. it was, you saw how much I tried to push back or delay it. Like mm-hmm. it was something that I just didn't really feel worthy of. And I don't know. It feels good. It feels good to talk about some of this stuff and just celebrate some of the wins, especially because we can celebrate it with everybody.
Totally.
Like, it's not just me that we're talking to here. I feel like we're talking to everybody who's been a part of the last 4 years of growing this thing.
Yeah. And I bet there's a lot of people that are kind of like you and me, where we're still finding our way. We're not consistently profitable. We're not supporting ourselves financially with this, but we would like to, and mm-hmm. we're trying to figure it out. You know, and we have some success and we're in it. It's been a couple years.
Right. It's the two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah. Right?
Sometimes it's two steps back. Sometimes it's three steps back. But as long as you're still moving forward, right?
Yeah, I'll continue. Still in.
As long as I'm still learning, as long as I'm still enjoying it, as long as I'm still making progress, I'll keep doing it.
I think I would have backed out if it weren't for this podcast and the community, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. I think it can be a lonely endeavor to trade and to not feel the like encouragement, like, okay, other people have been here before, like a series of 2 weeks of losses or the frustration or, okay, how do I work with this? Like getting support, getting to hear how other traders deal with losses and what are we up to here? I don't think I'd still be in.
Out the credit there goes to Baba for him to make the transition to live full-time trading like he did, and then to still be able to come on and talk every night about the struggles and the trials and the things that he was dealing with, trying to make that work. And then getting to see the blueprint of what, you know, we got to watch him struggle mightily for 3 months and then come out on the other side like a better trader than I've ever seen.
Totally.
it's impressive and it's
inspiring.
He's
so amazing. He's right? so amazing as a trader, but also as a coach and as a person. Like he's funny and he's supportive and he's the best.
I swear he knows when I'm feeling down because I'll get like just a little message of encouragement from him one day and it'll be like the exact thing I need to hear at the exact right time. And it's such a such so a great good. Feeling to know you got people like that, you know, in your group.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad. I'm so glad also that you said yes to this and that you
almost did it. I'm glad I did though.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
we did it.
I think we covered everything then that you had.
We covered everything that I had, but you know, maybe in 6 months I'll have a whole new list.
Right. Well, if anybody else has any burning questions that we didn't get to answer here, you send them to us via email or social media. All those links be in the episode description and we will be back soon with another exciting episode. Maybe with some spouses. But until then, if you're feeling lucky and want to make our day, leave us a review and have a wonderful week. This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only. It does not constitute financial or investment advice and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
Produced by China Shop Productions.